Want to encourage you all, take out your Bible. We're going to be going through Colossians 3, 1 through 10. That was read just moments ago. I titled it, Our Connection with God. Hope we can make the point, make some sense out of it all. That's on me. You know, when we talk about our connection with God, how do you really know that you are connected? There's ways to know. Many people think their connection with God, they can feel Him in their heart. God is not a feeling. No, God is a God of faith. And we read, as we read through Scripture, you always see that Jesus and God always responded to faith, not feeling. And you don't need to associate faith with feeling. Now, there's nothing you can feel with God. He's not that away. In John chapter 8, in verse 55, Jesus explains the relationship with God like this. He says, I know Him, and I keep His word. There's a connection with God. And Jesus spoke when He was walking on this earth in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 21. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of the Father will enter. Doing the will of God, listening to His word, that's how you will find your connection and find the assurance of that connection with God. Well, let's look here in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, now I'm going to stop right there. If you have been raised up with Christ, how do you know you've been raised up with Christ? Paul already had dealt with this back in chapter 2. Look with me, if you would, right quick. Look at verse 12. He says, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Having been buried with Him, with Jesus. See, it starts at a burial. And He says that burial is in baptism. And that God raised you up. How? In faith. When you came to be baptized, you know what God was looking for? One thing. Faith. If faith isn't there, there's no resurrection. And so there has to be faith. There's a lot of people that claim, well, I've been baptized, but it means nothing. They don't understand that they were raised up with Him. And once you're raised up with Jesus, there's where you find your connection to God. And now God begins His work in you. So that's why He says here in chapter 3, verse 1, if you've been raised up with Christ, then what do we do in that connection? Here's what He says. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Keep seeking. You know what you had to do to begin with? You had to seek truth before you were ever baptized into Christ. And once you seek that truth, a lot of times when people are baptized into Christ, they stop seeking and they die. And you don't want to be one of those. No, if you've been raised up with Christ and God has raised you up, then guess what? Keep seeking the things of God. Keep seeking. It's an onward process. Seeking, that word, that is an imperative. An imperative is a command. And you know what the commandment of God is? If you've been raised up with Christ, guess what? You better keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Christ is no longer on this earth. He's seated at the right hand of God. And you and I need to focus our attention at the things that are at the right hand of God where Jesus is. That is what we need to be concerned about. And that's how you respond to your connection. Well, let's keep moving on. Verse 2. He says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Set. When you're seeking the things above, you've got to fix your attention. One place. The things that are above where Christ is, you've got to set your mind. That's something you have to determine. That's something that faith does. If you're connected to God, set your mind on the things above. Now, here's what we need to learn. A lot of times, people have their minds set and they seek whatever is on the news. They let the news and the media determine how they think. And that is the wrong way to go about things. Because now you're letting the things on earth determine your values, determine what you believe in. You and I need to keep seeking the things above where Christ is and set our mind on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. You know what one of the greatest tragedies would be? For you and for me to be raised up with Christ and to not end up with Christ. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Everything God's doing is to get us to Him. But you and I have to put some faith in that, and we need to start seeking and setting our mind on those things above. And He's going to explain what that means here in just a second. Look at verse 3. He says, for you have died. Did you know that's what happened when you were buried with Him? Who do you bury? Dead people. You and I were dead in our sins. And when we were buried with Christ, we were dying to us and our sins. So, you have died. You know, when you think about a person that passes away, how much connection do they have with this earth, this physical things? None. You can't communicate with them. They can't communicate with you. They've died. You died also. Trying to get the perspective of seeing exactly what happened to us. You died. Continue on there in verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What happened when you died, you buried, and then you were raised with Christ, and God began His work. The life of God begins to work in you. And now that you've died and been, and Christ becomes your life. It was His life-giving that raised you up. God's life-giving. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He raised you and I from the dead. So there's things expected of us. We've got to have the right mindset. We've got to make sure in our lives the things that we're seeking are the things where Christ is seated. Let Him help us in our lives. He says again in verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, this earth is not our life, the news media is not our life, and all this stuff going on, everybody's got answers, but none of them are answers. You're not going to get any answers unless you understand that Christ is our life, seeking and setting. What all of this tells us is that anything that's happening in this physical world, You need to let God define what's happening, not what the world says is happening. Well, this is what's wrong. This is what we need to do. We need to look from God's perspective and let God tell us what is really happening. And so he says in verse 5, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we're going to see him again when he comes back, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You know what's going to happen if you have this connection with God? There's coming a day where Jesus is going beyond all people that ever existed and exist today. And he's going to reveal you're a child of God. He's going to tell everybody, these are my children. So you and I need to be seeking the right things and setting our mind on the right things. Well, let him further explain to apply this. Look at verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. This earthly body, this is our physical bodies. You know what we have to do? Consider, you have to think of your earthly body, that Christ is my life, not my body. It's dead to immorality. And this is sexual immorality. Any sexual immorality. Anything that is in an intimate way outside of marriage is immoral. And that word immorality there, we get our English word pornography from it. That's what comes from it. So guess what? Your body needs to be dead to anything that is impure outside of Christ, our bodies. Don't use your body for sexual immorality. No, that's unacceptable. If you're going to set your mind and seek the things above, that's one of the first things that has to go. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity. Impurity is really closely tied to sexual immorality. Impurity are cravings that takes your mind into dark places where you think of these dark, illicit things. That's impurity. It's a mindset. And then he goes on the next word, passion. Passion. Some people are passionate about a cause. And boy, they get passionate about a cause, and they're going to go after that with everything they have. You know, those are passions. Those passions shouldn't be a part of you and of me. He says, passionate, self-seeking causes, things that make me feel better, things that I want to do. You know, I'm for this organization and that organization, and I'm passionate about it. Well, passions will get you in trouble simply because you follow with your mindset, and that's all you think about is this passion that you have. Passions. He goes on to the next word, evil desires. Those are cravings of want. Evil desires. I want to do this. I want to go here. Cravings. Your body should be dead. You're alive to Christ. You're connected to God. And I want you to consider your body as dead to any cravings, evil cravings especially, evil desires. Look at the next word, and greed. How many times you hear people say, I want this, I want that, I want. That's greed. Because all you do is want. And you know what it does to you? He said, it amounts to idolatry. Because when you want, you know what you're going to do? You're going to seek those cravings and you'll put God second. That's why it's idolatry. That becomes your goal. That becomes your nature. So put aside these evil desires, these cravings, and this greed that many have. You know, because it's idolatry. You're placing things above God. You lose your connection with God with these things. But notice, let's see where he takes us on. He says in verse 6, "For it's because of these things that the wrath of God come upon the sons of disobedience." You want the wrath of God? You practice these things, and it's because of these practices the wrath of God will come. You go from a child of God to a child of disobedience. God knows the difference. Don't play that game thinking that God doesn't know, is not aware. You know, people sometimes make excuses for what they do. Well, I'm just, you know, God knows what I'm doing. You better believe He knows what you're doing. And if you've been raised up with Christ, let the connection begin and stop these cravings. Stop these evil desires. Stop all these things that are part of this world and start seeking and setting your mind on things above. Let's continue on. Verse 7. "And in them you also once walked when you were living in them." Why did you come to be buried with Christ? Well, I wanted my sins forgiven. Yes, you did. Because you were living in sin. You were connected to sin. And now that you came to be buried with Christ and God's work raised you from the dead, there needs to be this connection with God. And no connection with the things that you were once living in. Continue on verse 8. "But now you also put them all aside." Notice this list that he goes into here. First, anger. Anger. This anger here is not just getting mad. This is a flash anger. Someone does something, someone says something, and you, boom, you explode on them. And you give them a piece of your mind. There's no part of God in that. That's not the way God operates. This explosive reaction. Sometimes we get angry. We use our mouth to attack that person. That's not a connection with God. Sometimes we get into these fits of rage where we throw things. We want to let them know. That's not a connection with God. That's a connection with your old dead self. And the wrath of God stays on these people. I want you to put them all aside. Get a hold of your anger and don't let that thing take control of your life. Don't let your mindset be on anger and how you're mistreated. Continue on. Put them all aside. Anger, wrath, wrath. Wrath is where you have this real deep-seated feeling. And if you say the wrong thing, it's ready to react and let them know, "Oh, you've never liked me. Oh, you've always treated me that way." That's wrath at its height. Put away the wrath. Quit letting things fester within you. Don't do that. It's not helpful. It'll never be helpful. Put away anger. Put away wrath. Notice how emotional these things are. Notice how many of these have to do with feelings. Continue on. Next word, malice. Malice is a hateful attitude that you want another person hurt. Dealt with a lot of couples in the past. And a lot of times, you'll hear one or the other say, "I just want them to feel what I feel when they talk to me like that, or they do that to me." That's malice. You don't want to do that. You don't want to make someone feel what they made you feel, or feel the wrath that they have. No. Put aside malice. Then he goes on to the next thing, slander. Some people like to put other people down behind their back. And they go from one person to another, and they want to defile the reputation of that individual. That's slander. Put it away. There's no connection with God in that. And he says, an abusive speech from your mouth. That is profanity. You better get a hold of your profanity. You better stop it. That's the foul mouth that speaks unkindly to other people. You don't want that either. Filthy language, filthy stories. Why? Seek the things for Christ. Can you imagine Jesus sitting at the right hand of God being foul-mouthed, being abusive in their speech? No. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and we need to seek where He is and set our mind on the things that are above. Continue on. Look at verse 9. Do not lie to one another. You know what liars do? They misrepresent the truth. And when I say misrepresent, they want you to believe this. And they use language in terms, they may not outright lie, but they're using terms to get you to believe this is the way it is. And so you walk away from them and you think, okay, I believe that. That's a liar. That's what they do. They want to misrepresent what's truly happening because they can't be true in themselves. Stop the lying. Just be honest about things. Do not lie to one another. And look what he says in 9. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, when you were buried with Christ, you know what you were doing that day? You should have been laying aside all that old stuff. And you leave it in the grave. You leave it buried. It's gone. Christ is our life. We've been raised with Him. It's through the working of God, and that made our connection to God. And if our connection to God is solid, we'll start working on stopping these things. I had a good friend of mine once, baptized him into Christ. We were talking about these things, and one night they were at our house studying, and we read through these verses. He said, I went home that night, and he said, I just sat there, and I just picked up my Bible, and I saw right there, abusive speech, the foul language. He said, I have foul language. I use profanity. And he said, right there, I knew that I need to get rid of it and stop it because I have the ability to now that in Jesus, I'm laying aside my old self. He said, it's been amazing the change in what my speech has become. See, the connection with God was real. And that's how you know He's connected. They're willing to do it. You and I need to be willing to do the same thing. If you read through these things, the anger and the wrath and the malice, and we talk about those things of immorality, impurity, evil desires, those should not be any part of who you are. They should be gone. They should not be any part. If you're connected to God, you will be putting some faith in that and saying, I'm stopping it. No more. Because you died. And now your life is hidden with Christ in God. He said, verse 9, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. What if you don't lay aside that old self? What if you just keep saying, well, this is who I am? What are you going to do with that connection with God? What's going to happen then? You lose a connection. And now you're going to get the wrath of God. Because God gave you an opportunity to do something better with your life. And here it is, verse 10. And have put on the new self. Put on that new self. What about it? Who is being renewed. What does it mean to be renewed? To make new again? You have to spend time in the Word of God to let the things of God and let the seeking where Christ is and setting your mind on the... You have to let that renew, make your mind new again. Because a lot of times we had ways that we thought that were not godlike. And we need to get better at being godlike. We need to be better at our connection to God. He says, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, a true knowledge. The world offers us no knowledge. We have all these so-called experts and all these big-time people who think they know a lot. No, I don't want to be renewed in that. I want to be in a true knowledge of who God is and what God is about. And I want to view everything that's happening on this earth through the eyes of my God, because His ways are pure and clean. He says, and put on the new self who is being renewed. It's an onward thing, daily thing, to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You and I are in Christ. We're in Christ because God created us new in Christ. We died, put away all that old sinful stuff. You know, if you got family battles, stop the family battles. Stop it. You don't have to do it. But I want some people just get a thrill out of being mean to family. Stop it. That's not a renewal of God. How in the world are we ever going to get anyone to see that there is something different and there is a better way if we're not helping them see it? Set your mind. Keep seeking the things above. Christ is our life now. Not this old stuff. Not the stuff that will take you down. So you and I need to be very aware of what we're doing. We need a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created us. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. Let that new creation take effect, or the wrath of God will come upon, and it will be worse than when you were before you ever came into Christ. Because now that you're in Christ and you walk by faith, put these things aside so God can help keep recreating you and renew you into His image and who He is. I want to encourage you in that this morning. This is the connection with God. This is the proving ground to prove that you are connected or you're disconnected. Take it to heart. Put some faith in it. And I pray it'll take you forward in your daily life. Let's love the Lord.